It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me as we study the Word of God together. Let me invite you to get a pen, piece of paper, or pencil in your Bible, if at all possible, and take notes as we study the Word together. Now, if you can't get every scripture that we go through, I suggest that you go to one of our websites where you will be able to listen to these programs once again, these lessons that we're going through. At the end of the program today, you'll be given addresses of the websites where you can listen to these programs once again. Well, now, the last time that we were together, we were looking at the Ethiopian eunuch. We left off there, and Philip was a man who God had sent to speak to this Ethiopian. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 30, it says, "And Philip ran thither to him," that's to the Ethiopian, "and heard him read the prophet Isaiah," which is Isaiah, "and said, Understandest thou what thou readest?" And of course, the Ethiopian said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Well, now we know, as we've studied this, that we go back and we read how that this Ethiopian eunuch got saved. He had asked the Lord into his heart. He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Once again, as Philip approached this man, he was reading. He didn't understand what he was reading. And then, let me ask you this. So, suppose you came upon someone, you came into contact with an unsaved person, and find that person reading in the Gospel of John in the 3rd chapter in the 16th verse. Could you explain what the verse means? Of course, the verse says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Could you explain that? Well, I pray that you could explain that as a saved person, and you could help another individual come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, the Ethiopian got saved because Philip was a man of God who had studied the Scriptures, and he knew how to explain the Scriptures to the man who wanted to be saved. Well, now we move on in the book of Acts. We go into chapter 9, and we see there something that takes place. We see salvation for whosoever. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Well, we see here a murderer is saved. One day, Saul decided to go to the city of Damascus so that he could continue to hunt for believers. But something happened. Saul meets the Lord. He receives salvation from our Savior. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1, it says, "Am I not an apostle?" This is Paul speaking. "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord?" Well, when Saul asked, we read this in just a few moments ago, Acts chapter 9 and verse 5, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus answered, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Saul was persecuting the church, the believers. But Jesus said, "You are persecuting me." In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, we learn that the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the body, which is the church. Colossians 1:18, it says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." You see, you can't hurt the church without hurting the head of the church. And Saul was persecuting the body, and that's the church, but the head also felt it. Well, what one does to the body, he is also doing to the head. Many times we think that we are the ones being persecuted, but in reality, the person who's persecuting us because of our belief, because we've been saved, they're actually persecuting Jesus Christ. And we need to be able to stand up for our Lord and tell people what they need to do in order to go to heaven. We don't want to get so irritated with someone when they persecute us that we lash out toward them, but we need to love them as the Lord loved us and as he loves us. And we need to help people understand that they too can be loved by the Lord. They're already loved. He loved them so much that he came into the world to die for them. But we need to let people know that he wants them to be saved. Well, in Acts chapter 9 and verse 10, and some of the other verses that we're going to read right now, we see that God speaks to a person by the name of Ananias. In Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 17, it says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Behold, I am here, Lord.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight.' Then Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem.'" Remember now, we're talking about Saul. This Ananias was concerned because Saul had persecuted the church. He was bringing people into the jails and they were actually being killed. So Ananias had a reason to be concerned about going to this man, Saul. Verse 14 of Acts chapter 9 goes on to say, "And here he hath authority from the chief priest," speaking of Paul again, Ananias speaking, "he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, 'Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.' And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost.'" Well, who was Ananias? I see that Ananias was a devout man. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 12, it says, "And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there." Well, we see that Ananias was devout. This means he was very dedicated. Ananias, the name means favored of the Lord. I don't want to be one who is not favored of the Lord. My name's not Ananias, but I would consider myself very favored of the Lord because he saved me. And because he saved me, I look at him as my Savior. He is my Savior. And I feel as though that I am favored of the Lord, just as Ananias was. Well, what did Ananias do? Verse 17 of Acts chapter 9 tells us that Ananias obeyed. You see, one of the things that Ananias told Saul was how many things he would suffer for Jesus. Acts chapter 9, verse 16. And the Christian life is not an easy life. For Paul, it meant a life of suffering. And we read of some of the sufferings that Paul went through in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. You see, Paul was willing to suffer for Jesus, according to Acts chapter 20 and chapter 21. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, it says, "But none of these things move me," Paul says, "neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Well, what happened after Ananias met Saul, whose name was not yet Paul? What happened? We know that Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, And we know that Ananias spoke with him. He went to him as God had told him to, as Jesus told him to. And we see that in Acts chapter 9 and verse 18, something happened. After Ananias talked to Saul and told him who he was and told him that he was there to speak with him and help him, chapter 9 and verse 18 of Acts, it says, and immediately there fell from his eyes, that's Paul's eyes, as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Well, Paul was saved, according to Acts chapter 9 and verses 1 through 6. And after he got saved, he obeyed God. He was willing to be baptized as an outward sign of salvation. Even before we see that even before he was baptized, just for his willingness to obey God, he received sight. And Paul had been saved and he could now see clearly the things of God. If we want to see, understand more clearly what God has for our lives, we must be willing to do what God wants us to do. Obey Him. Before we do what God wants us to do as a Christian, simple surrender, acknowledging that we will do what He wants. And open our eyes to see more clearly, see the plan that God has for our lives as Christians. Be willing to ask God to lead and guide. Well, Saul immediately preached Jesus. Isn't that something? He got saved and immediately he preached Jesus. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 20 says, and straightway, this is immediately, he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. That Jesus Christ, in other words, is the Son of God. See, the great persecutor had become the great preacher. The unbelieving Jews now wanted to kill Saul. He was the hunter, and the hunter was now being hunted. The church's greatest enemy was now the church's greatest friend. And the unsaved Jews did not like this. How did Saul escape? And we see that he came under great persecution. That was coming back to him. Now, he was now a Christian. In Acts chapter 9, verses 21 through 30, it says, but all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on the name in Jerusalem, on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Now, Paul was preaching Jesus Christ. Verse 22 goes on to say, but Paul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he assayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was the disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Cretans. But they went about to slay him. We'll pick up here where we're leaving off in verse 30 of Acts chapter 9 the next time. Know Jesus today as your Savior. He wants to save you. And if you are saved, you need to be living for Him and serving Him.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.